Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Hello.
Hello. You and I are both wearing our Faith Through Fire apparel.
I know. It's so nice.
It is nice. Actually, yeah. We were just saying, like, the sweatshirt's super soft. And then what were you saying about
it's a long sleeve t-shirt. So I don't like when the cuffs are stiff and the cuffs are really soft because I like to tuck my hands in sometimes.
Oh, Sarah,
you know, it's
approved.
Like, feels very protective.
Sarah approved. I know. When I did this breathwork session the other day and everybody was laughing at me because I laid down on my mat and it was very bright in the room. And usually I like a dark room when I do.
Because you carry your sleep mask with you.
Sound bowls. That's what it was. It was a sound bowl session, but it was very bright in the room and I didn't bring my face mask. And I was like, how am I going to do this? Well, I had a hood. So I,
did you pull it over your head and then just cinched it up?
I cinched it and everybody,
like a little butthole.
I looked a little interesting. And then of course, like that's when the facilitator decided to take a picture of everybody.
Oh,
so everybody else looks normal. And then there I am like wrapped up like Frodo and, you know, Lord of the Rings.
People who like don't like the brightness in their eyes will totally get it.
No, but they get it. Like, and then. And then I did it with Jamie, who we're going to have on as a guest, and she's our boot camp facilitator. She said that in the middle, she didn't know I did it, and in the middle of the meditation, she was having trouble kind of getting into the zone, and she looks over at me, and I'm all cinched up.
She probably giggled to herself.
Yeah, she did. She did. So anyway, we're both comfortable. It's like we're heading into fall. We've got our fall apparel on.
It feels it's crazy how fast that came up. Like the leaves are, I don't know, it just feels like early September always, in my brain, I think summer still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we have our survivor retreat next week. And I went ahead and looked at the weather and we're in the high 80s.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be beautiful.
You know what I mean? It's like we go from 40s to 80s. This is the time of the year where you don't know what you're getting. I will say that so far we're getting like a fall.
Yeah.
Like no humidity. We've had some really crisp days. It's been kind of nice. Okay. So today, like, let's get down to what we're actually talking about today, right? We're talking about the three-legged stool. Is that going to mean anything to anybody who
hasn't? Probably not.
Yeah, probably nobody that hasn't been through our boot camp is not going to understand the three-legged stool. So.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice because this episode is coming on the heels of us talking about our boot camp. So we wanted to give you a little bit of a taste of sort of one of the very many concepts that we share in the boot camp.
Yeah, so basically the three-legged stool refers to a balanced approach to life. So basically with three essential elements, yourself, others and God.
Yep.
So each leg kind of represents a crucial aspect of a fulfilled and meaningful life. And just like a stool, all three legs must remain strong and balanced to maintain stability. So,
because you can't have a two-legged stool.
You cannot.
Fall right over.
I mean, I would like to see that. It's
like one of those chairs, you know, that's like a circle on the bottom where people are just, woo.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. So when I talk to women, it's always interesting to find out where is their stool a little bit wobbly.
Yeah.
Self, others, or God.
Stick a coaster under there.
Mm-hmm. I actually spoke to this woman the other day who she wanted to do the in-person boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And she reached out and she was like, I want to do the in-person, but I am going to have to do the online because on the dates of the in-person, I watch my grandkids and their parents would have to come pick them up an hour early for me to be able to make it. And I said, okay, well,
okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. And she and it was completely inconceivable to her to ask for her family to accommodate her desire to do the boot camp. She just couldn't fathom putting them out. And not being there for them in that way, even though it's only a 6-week boot camp. And I have to really reserve my judgment on that because really it comes from a very giving and caring place and very loving heart. But inside, I'm kind of screaming, are you serious?
Yeah.
Your family wouldn't understand your need to put yourself first and go to this boot camp for 6 weeks of your life.
Mm-hmm. We had this.
It's so hard to watch.
We did the pilot for this boot camp and we had somebody who said the same thing. And, you know, we kind of pushed back and challenged it a little bit. And she was so glad that she had that conversation and chose herself.
That's why I brought it up because it's happened like a handful of times now since we've launched this boot camp. Mm-hmm. And it's just like amazing to me that people are so unwilling to put themselves first when it comes to cancer care.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Put your mask on first. They tell you that on the plane.
But it's like, why do I think it's crazy how we have to really tell people it's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so today we're going to talk about
soapbox. Get off it.
I know. I'm off. Today we're going to talk about what the elements of self, others, and God means,
and the difficulty in managing holistic your holistic well-being.
Yep. And how you can nurture these elements to live your best life.
But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Anne's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have three locations in the St. Louis area, Chesterfield in Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a fourth location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Anne's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more. Okay, and we're back. So let's talk about what it means when we're talking about self, others, and God, right?
Yeah.
So self, I mean, that's kind of what we were just talking about, right? The importance of self-care.
Yeah.
Self-awareness, personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
It involves understanding your own needs, setting boundaries.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Oh my gosh. Like, it's crazy to me how much women in particular struggle with setting boundaries for self-care.
Yeah. Well, it's just because we always put others' needs first, you know, I think especially in motherhood too.
I get that, but it's like... Just take some personal responsibility for yourself.
Yeah,
like,
but, I mean, you've done it too.
We've all done it. Yeah. We've all done it. I think it's about recognizing that we do it and then taking the responsibility. I mean, we've talked about this before, but when you get sick, and it's kind of a sensitive topic, but I think there's an element of radical responsibility and accountability that needs to take place of what have I done in this situation that isn't serving me or that might have allowed me to get to this point where I got sick.
Well, and I think that that's where, because actually I first heard about the three-legged stool when I was doing my own coaching. And I think it was such a novel concept at the time because so many people don't really, there are things outside of what you see. Sometimes you see within your nutrition or you see like, okay, I'm sedentary and I know I shouldn't be, or I eat things that I know I shouldn't. Like those are the things that you see. But sometimes the concepts of something like this, where it's like leading a balanced lifestyle, it's just outside of what you see until somebody points it out to you.
Yeah.
And you know, in the example that we gave earlier where we were like, we see that you are choosing others or choosing, you know, your commitment to your kids and you're sacrificing yourself in this opportunity. Is there an opportunity for you to just have a conversation where for 6 weeks, you choose yourself? And this is where somebody could be a good friend and just be like, hey, I noticed that you are like sacrificing yourself a lot. It's just outside of what you see about yourself.
Well, and so to your point, the first time we brought that up to the woman that wanted to do the boot camp, she took that in and then made a change and she made sure she was there. And she was so glad she did. This other person that I spoke to was like, it's no, I'm not going to do it. It's not happening.
And you're not always ready to make a change.
No. And that's fine. But I do think that that's part of the personal growth that needs to come from.
Yeah. Within coaching, something that we always do is ask on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this to you? So my next question for the lady who was like, being accountable to my commitment to my kids is on a scale of 1 to 10. 10, it's that important. But maybe her struggles in survivorship are only a 4. So making a change in survivorship is only a 4. So that's always going to win.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, no. I mean, I definitely think people have in their mind, how important is this to me? Because you let go the things that you don't care that much about, right?
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right. There has to be a sense of readiness.
Yeah. So anyway, the self is really just about taking responsibility for your own well-being and figuring out what's important to you.
Yeah. Others. Okay. So this is really representing relationships and connections with others. We know from the data how important connection is, social connection is to like health.
Yeah.
And so this includes friends, family, community, society. It's having empathy, compassion, service, support. Like
being that for others, but also receiving that from others too.
Healthy, supportive relationships are going to become increasingly important to you in survivorship.
Oh, so there's much.
How many women do we usher through breast cancer and they're in these really toxic, unhealthy environments in relationships. And 99% of the time they start reevaluating those in survivorship. Yeah.
This happens a lot.
I mean, it's I think that they're always, you know, they don't have space for that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not serving them yeah. anymore. It's what's allowed them to get sick. And right. so those healthy relationships become incredibly important. But, you know, so it's about, you know, you having healthy relationships, but also contributing to the lives of others and finding fulfillment in those connections. Mm-hmm. God. So this is a spiritual connection, a relationship with God, and it involves seeking guidance, comfort, and meaning through a relationship with God. Typically, spirituality and faith provides a foundation for your values, inner peace, a sense of belonging to something that's bigger than yourself.
Yeah. And for me, this was like a sense that something bigger than you has got a plan, you know, and for many, God is that person that you look towards for the plan
and for the meaning and
for the trust and the meaning and the purpose. Not only just your cancer journey, but everything in general that you go through has a reason.
So we do have, I don't want to say a fair amount, but we have one of the women in one of our previous boot camps said that out of her three-legged stool, she realized that her relationship with God was the most unsteady.
Yeah.
And we noticed that, like, that was a kind of a theme that there mm-hmm. had been some previous church hurt, mm-hmm. that people had kind of distanced themselves from mm-hmm. religion, which I think is completely different than a relationship with God. You mm-hmm. know, when you make religion synonymous with relationship with God, I always cringe a little bit because mm-hmm. to me, those are two completely different things.
Wow, interesting.
Well, I think anybody who's really faith-filled, that would surprise them. But, you know, religion's corporate and relationship is clearly not, right?
So, okay, interesting.
So I just really encourage people who are listening who haven't prioritized their faith, or maybe they have drifted, or they just, you know, it hasn't been a big piece of their well-being in the past. Mm-hmm. I really challenge you to think, if that's missing from your three-legged stool, are you really enjoying everything you could be from life?
Yeah.
There's a lot of growth that comes from wrestling with the concept of faith in God.
Yeah.
A lot of growth.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that a lot of people have to reflect upon.
Well, and I think that there's a little bit of, at the time when I learned about this concept, I had taken a leap of faith and left my job. And so there was, I remember really struggling with, I'm not doing enough. And I remember the coach who I was talking to at the time, she was like, okay, but you know, what are the supports around you? You know, you've got this husband who's supportive in you making this decision, and you've got, he's going to help you with the kids. And she was reinforcing all the supports that were around me, because clearly myself one, mm-hmm. I had taken on so much of myself. So if you like are a visual person like I am, myself one, my self leg was really long because I had taken it all on myself. And then she's like, and then also, what is your trust in that this is what you're supposed to do?
From a spiritual perspective?
Yeah, from a spiritual perspective. And the trust that things will come into your path that they're meant to, or even if it's something hard, that a lot of times I think, and especially after cancer, is that, well, the last thing that was, quote, supposed to come into my path was really hard and difficult, and it took a lot for me to get over. And especially if you're fresh out of the cancer journey, sometimes it's hard to look back and think that that was supposed to happen for good.
Oh, I know. Well,
and so, you know, when you're evaluating your stool, your God leg and your spirituality, you have your trust in the process mm-hmm. is probably a little shaky. So your God stool leg might be short, or it might be long. Maybe you leaned heavily into your faith when you were going through cancer if you're fresh out, but it just depends on where you are. And these will forever be changing. Your stool will kind of always be like, oh, I wonder which
right.
which leg's a little bit longer today or this week.
It's a sensitive topic, because somebody said this the other day in a seminar thing I was sitting in. They said, well, did cancer happen to you or for you?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, I think it happened for me. Like, I actually do believe that. And mm-hmm. I think that there was purpose and meaning behind the suffering.
Yeah.
However, good luck telling that to somebody who's living with cancer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's all these nuances of... Yeah. Okay, I'm supposed to find the purpose and meaning and, you know, having an incurable disease. It's that struggle and that constant tug of war of, this isn't what I had planned for my life. This isn't what I wanted. Yeah. How is this fitting a bigger purpose?
And it depends on where you are within your grief cycle and your acceptance cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So there's so much there. All right. So before we move on to the difficulty in kind of managing all these things, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
All right. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
What is the generation right now that's middle school / high school?
Is it the G?
Are they the Gen G?
Gen G.
Okay, well, whatever they are, the generation that is right now and their slang.
Okay.
So yesterday I was at a social event with fire families and we were talking about slang that is right now.
Yeah.
And there's all this talk of skibbity and skibbity toilets and skibbity Ohio. And so we were sort of making fun of all of it. And
what is skibbity?
I don't know.
They don't even know?
So we were looking it up and there's a whole video that somebody was talking about skibbity. But skibbity Ohio is apparently something, oh, that sucks or that's bad. And then there's...
So do you have to say skibbity Ohio?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it came from.
Is it like we're dissing on Ohio?
Hold on, I'm getting full circle to where I'm going with this because... I had come across this guy on social media who he's not old. He's, I don't know, I would say he's probably the generation right below us.
Yeah.
Younger-ish dude. So it works for him in this, but he was talking about how he's a substitute teacher and he goes to different schools. And he would go in, and if you want to follow him on social media, his handle is Samuel Sleeves. And he, cute looking kid with glasses on, and he comes up with these alternative slang words, and then he goes in and just makes crap
I've
up.
I've seen
and,
this guy.
And is like, I'm going to convince them that this slang word is like hidden over at another school.
I gotcha.
And so one of them, I'm just going to give an example, is, so he calls it gaslighting these students, making them think that something is real when it's actually not. So the first one is parked. Parked is a not moving car. It's boring. It's done. It's over. So he might say, you know, the day is absolutely parked.
Yeah.
Or that's parked.
I've seen this guy like where he tries to incorporate this into the, like the lexicon of kids.
Well, one of them was scroll. And so at this event where we were, the social event yesterday, if somebody was talking about something where we were like, no, we're done with this conversation, we would just go scroll. So we were coming up and we were using his slang words. But anyway, I thought, I don't know who's the boob. These people coming up with skibbity toilets and skibbity Ohio or
whatever. This is not exactly the same thing. But my husband and I were talking about trends with kids and this big thing with teenage boys, which is the floof. Uh-huh. Have you seen this?
Yes.
It's like where they
and
tease.
And they sort of curl it up.
They tease and curl their hair up and it's real floofy. Yeah. And so Gary and I were like, when Ben... our oldest comes, that's how he styles his hair, because that's what all the boys are doing, and we don't love it.
Yeah.
And so we're always like, oh, the floof is loose, you know? And so we just kind of poke at it. But I have this fantasy in my brain where I'm going to start subconsciously planting the seed that the style has changed.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, you're like, just like this dude.
Yes. So I'm kind of like this dude, because I'm thinking, how can I, you know, subtly be like, oh, yeah, you know, I was talking to this mom and she said that at this school, it's like so over to have the floof and, you know, just start incorporating these little hints into his subconscious that style is completely dead.
So you're going to gaslight the hairstyles.
I'm going to gaslight the hairstyles because I cannot stand this floofy hairstyle. And he has had
do you remember what was popular when we were in high school? It was the super crusted gelled hair
with the
front
bangs.
Flipped up.
Yeah. Oh,
and it was like, it would poke you.
Oh my gosh. I should probably just let him have his style, but I mean,
this is the one time in his life he could just do wild and crazy things with his hair. When he gets out into the real world, he's going to have to
chop the
floof. I have
three school photos of the floof. Mm. I don't want the floof to make an appearance in the fourth school photo. I mean, it's in all his track photos. It's in his three school photos. I want this trend to be over.
But you know what? Do you not look back on your husband's and go, oh, I mean, I do on Eric's and there's the puka shell necklaces and it's just
the barbed wire tattoos.
But it's just a capshot or a screenshot of the time. And I find it funny. And you get to look back on that. But if they're just normal photos, you know.
Yeah, you look normal.
Well, you look normal, but then there's nothing silly.
I'm always telling the kids, I'm like, guys, can we please just do something that's going to like age well? Can we please?
That's what you want.
That's what I want. Yeah. So I let my kids do what they want because it's an expression of their own creativity.
Right. Yeah.
Although I would argue that when you're following what all the other people are doing.
It's not.
My number one thing with the kids is quit being a follower. Be a leader, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's your bibs. That's funny.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
Let's talk about the difficulty in managing this. Out of self, others, and God, which one is your hardest leg?
Well, define hardest, because I think there's one that
What's
always...
What's the hardest to balance is the question.
I think mine is others.
Okay. Yeah. In what way?
I am always thinking it is easier for me to do it myself than to ask others for help. I think I am strong within my connections, but sometimes I have to be very intentional about it.
Okay. I was thinking of maintaining healthy relationships, but I guess what you're saying is that it's...
You to maintain a healthy relationship, you really have to be vulnerable with people.
Okay.
And it's hard for me to ask for help.
Oh, I see. So like, yeah. I got you. So if you, in order to be authentically you.
Yes.
And to say, hey, I need a little help with this, or yes. I can't manage this all, or I'm really struggling in this area. That's, okay, gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
I don't know. I feel like you'd be better equipped to answer this question about me than I am.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Oh, well, okay. Do we want to say like which one we think the other person?
Sure.
I totally see that about you, actually. I think you probably know yourself really well. Like, now that I'm thinking about it. I mean, you're all about personal growth. So self, I don't feel like...
No.
Yeah. I mean, you are like the queen bee of like self-care. I'm better, I think, at setting boundaries than... It's not like who's better at what.
Well, for sure.
But like, if you're going to look at something like with self...
Yeah.
I think you're way more open. And maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about in terms of where I struggle?
I would think you actually sort of oscillate between two legs. I think you are really good at setting boundaries, and you know what? Actually, you know what? You're a hard call. I think that the God leg.
I'm so deep.
You are, and maybe your legs are just they just change more frequently. I think than mine do, but I think that you, the self one, you're good at boundaries, but I think you also sort of are ambivalent or not as strong in nurturing your physical and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But then you are really good at sort of knowing when you need to connect with others and reaching out and being intentional about it, but yet you're sort of like me in that you struggle with the vulnerability of asking and doing what needs to be done sometimes. But then I've also seen many times where you're like, oh, I need to bring God into this and remember that I'm not alone in this, you know. So I don't know. You're a tough call. What do you think?
I would say I agree with you. I think that the first thing to go for me when I'm stressed or I have a lot going on is my physical and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first thing to go. So that's true. That's where I struggle with self. With others, supportive relationships. I mean, I don't make space for anybody that's not healthy in my mind. So
you cut people faster.
I cut people faster.
You're dead to me.
And it's not because I don't care about them or love them or think that they're great in their own right. I have very strict boundaries about chaos. I cannot. Yeah. It's self-preservation.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in a future episode, I believe, when we talk about forgiveness. It's like forgiveness and boundaries are not the same thing. Like,
yes.
you know what I mean? And I think I have just, I've lived in chaos before. I've been exposed to chaos before. And I just know I need
calm. Yeah.
And I need people who are unconditionally supportive and loving, even if we don't always see things eye to eye. Right.
That's why we are so good together.
I know. It's so true. I don't know if we really like painted a picture.
Well, I think that that's. Even just having this conversation is really good to
wrestle with it,
because I think even the listeners will understand that it's not always black and white. You're not going to wake up and be like, I'm struggling with myself today, or I'm struggling with God.
Well,
today.
How often do we ask ourselves these questions?
We just
don't ask ourselves these questions. Self, others, and God, which is, getting the back burner right now. And what do I need to do to make that adjustment?
Well, when you're feeling those moments of overwhelm, this is where you sort of check in. And, if you've just made a really difficult decision, are you putting all the pressure on yourself? Have you relied on your relationships around you, or have you gone to your faith and your spirituality about what you're being called to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, not easy. Okay. So let's talk about then how you can cultivate these elements in your life.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's going to be pretty specific to you, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, practicing self-care, what does that look like?
Eating well, exercising regularly, obviously getting really great sleep. Pretty much everything that we're going to be talking about in this series.
The entire series. I think just reflecting on your thoughts, emotions, and behavior. If there's one thing that I know I wasn't good at for many years, I'm much better at it now. It's admitting how I actually feel about something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we have a lot of type A women in Faith Through Fire, where... Mm-hmm. Acknowledgement kind of goes back to what you're saying, vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
acknowledging you don't have it all together, acknowledging that something somebody said or did hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fun. But when you admit those things to yourself and you can say it honestly, and the the, you know, the bottom doesn't fall out. That's a way to nurture yourself, to practice self-care. Right. There's obviously the things like journaling, meditation, mindfulness. Here's one. Learn to say no. This kind of goes back to like our poor women that we were picking on about putting their family over themselves. Mm-hmm. Learn to say no. Do you have trouble saying no to people?
No, I flexed that muscle a lot more recently than I have in...
Can I give myself credit for that?
Yes.
I met Sarah, Sarah did not know the word no. Now she knows it.
I was a yes woman.
Yeah. I say no all the time.
Yes, you do.
We actually at Faith Through Fire got to this point where we're like, we need to say no more than we say yes. And it's just, again, it's a self-preservation. Mm-hmm. It's about knowing your limitations. It's mm-hmm. about, you know, focusing your energy where it best serves other people.
Yeah.
Again, to your point, it's a muscle.
Yeah.
Saying no is a muscle. And a lot of people struggle with
that. Well,
it's
also a mindset. I think you have to realize why you're saying yes. And if you're saying yes because you're a people pleaser, I think within Faith Through Fire context, we were saying yes because we didn't want to miss out on an opportunity for connection or awareness building. But what's really cool about what's happened specifically within the organization is that the more we started to say no, the more other people started to step up and say yes for us.
Right. Yeah. We got more help.
Yeah.
We got more help. Yeah. The minute we started saying we can't be it all, do it all.
Yeah.
There were so many people in the wings being like, well, we got you, boo. Yeah. And it was a really good feeling. You're right. So, you know, protecting your time and energy, creating healthy boundaries to prevent burnout, nurturing self, embracing challenges as opportunities for growth. That kind of goes back to what we said is, did this happen for you or to you? Yeah. Developing coping strategies for adversity. These are all ways you can nurture yourself. So others, gosh, if there's one thing I want women to hear, you need to really be protective of having healthy relationships.
Yeah. This is relationships within your family and your friends and in your community. And if there's a space within your community that you're not jiving with, get out. Say no.
Yeah. Why do you think that's so hard for women? Is it because they're so closely connected? Is it because they're a family member or, you know what I mean? Like, I always...
It depends on the context of the situation. But I think sometimes we wonder, can we make this better? Can we fix this? You know, what if we miss out on something? Or this relationship has been around for years. I stayed within some friendships that I didn't need to because this is my only friend from high school. I'm friends because I've known them forever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I don't really need them.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's an interesting concept that, you know, there are people placed in your life or circumstances that happened at a certain point in your life that was helping you cope, that mm-hmm. was serving you in some way. And then it's perfectly acceptable for you to be in a different chapter to where those people are no longer serving you and for you to disengage.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it unlovingly.
Yeah. And you don't have to not be friends with them. It's just you're not as connected as you once were.
Yeah. From a distance.
Yeah.
The other part of nurturing others, and most people get to this point, as you know, in their breast cancer journey, is giving back or mm-hmm. using your suffering to alleviate the suffering of somebody else. Mm-hmm. This is usually, you know, in survivorship where women really start to want to support research or they want to meet with other survivors to just kind of support each other in survivorship, or they want to mentor in our program. Mm-hmm. It's their way of giving back and making purpose from the pain. So nurturing others is, you know, part of that others focus. Yeah. And don't you think that when you're focused on helping other people, it just helps you?
Yes.
People don't know that. I mean, people 100%. Don't realize that when you're in the muck, and we do hear this from a lot of survivors, when they're in the muck of treatment and it's like their low point, it's so fun and interesting to watch them pour into other people because mm-hmm. you're thinking this is when you should be accepting help. And we do chastise them a little bit. But I think they know it feels good to pour into somebody else. It takes their mind off of their own problems.
Yeah.
And then nurturing your relationship with God. I mean, obviously you can cultivate spiritual practices like prayer and church, but I think it's important to note that those don't exist for God. They exist for us to mm-hmm. find comfort and community. Mm-hmm. And just reflecting on your life's purpose and how your spiritual beliefs guide your actions, I think can be really helpful. How do you feel about gratitude practices?
I mean, I think they're overused, but I also, it's funny you're asking, I just started having gratitude be part of my nightly prayer, mm-hmm. like just going through all the things that I was grateful for the day. I think it's because we talked about it maybe in one of the boot camps, because when you have thoughts of gratitude, your negative thoughts.
Yeah, you can't be anxious and grateful at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, when your mind is on what you're grateful for, it doesn't leave any room for anxiety. And I think that that's probably one of God's little God winks, you know, and it's meant, I mean, biblically, it's all over the Bible about expressing gratitude and having gratitude. I think what was a game changer for me was I always thought about gratitude as writing in a journal and being like, I'm grateful for my house. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for my dog buddy.
I mean, it can look like that.
It can look like that. And I do think that we need to be better about finding joy in the small things and not thinking it needs to be a big thing. But for whatever reason, it flipped the script in my brain when I started feeling grateful to God specifically for those blessings in my life. Because if you think back to your younger self and you think, what kind of hopes and dreams would I have for my future as my younger self? I have everything and more than what I could have asked for. Who do I attribute that to? I attribute that to God. So my gratitude practice has gone more from just like rote recital of the things that I have to a genuine gratefulness and gratitude toward God for providing those things to me. And I think that that changes the concept of gratitude a little bit.
Gotcha.
Who are you grateful to?
Yeah.
Who has allowed all these things into your life?
Yeah.
You know, for me, that's one person.
Yeah.
Okay, before we wrap up, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, we're back. Any final words, any thoughts about the three-legged stool?
No, I think it's really fun that this is part of what we introduce into the boot camp, and we sort of give some extra tools within the boot camp and we go through exercises, and I really enjoy this three-legged stool.
Yeah. All right, guys, until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmus, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies. Thank you.